The name or the title I've given my message today is very simple. Very simple indeed. It's called The Color of Sin. The Color of Sin. You see, sinful people matter. If they didn't, there'd be no need for Calvary. There'd be no need for the suffering that Jesus went through in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. There'd be no need. But you know, well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for these words that you've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me utterance, and that those who listen, Lord, would listen astutely, and they would not only hear, but understand, Lord, what it is that's being said here today. May you be lifted up, Lord Jesus, and may God Almighty be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to start out in, they call it the love chapter. The love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Well, I'm going to read a verse from there first of all. Start us out. Let's see. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Have you got that? I put away childish things. Like I said, the title of my message is The Color of Sin, with the subtitle, Sinful People Matter. Oh, yes, we all matter to God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, when I was a Catholic living out on the East Coast, I was not only lost and without any hope whatsoever of ever getting to heaven. At least that's what I was told. But yet, being ignorant, not knowing much of anything about the scriptures, but only listening to what other people said, well, I thought I was going to heaven. In fact, I was sure I was going to heaven. Why? Well, simply because I was a Catholic. I was a Catholic, a Roman Catholic. And my priest, well, he told me so. And would your priest lie to you? Oh, that's another message altogether. You know, back in them days, well, when kids like me were sent to church, but seldom ever taken, well, we didn't have the fear of going to hell. We never thought much about hell. Instead, what we did have was the fear of the priest. Oh, Father, 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 Father this, Father that. That's all you'd hear. How we feared our priest when he'd look upon us and say, "You sinner, yo. You better get your life in order." Not only did we have the fear of the priest, but we were totally, totally lost in fear over the Pope. Oh, he was, he was the supreme being upon the earth. Next to God and Jesus, it was the Pope. And it still is to many Catholics today. It still is. And then after the Pope, well, we come down a rung or so and we hit the Virgin Mary. Oh, the Virgin Mary. And then also, who was next? Your mama. Your mama. Do you like that? Do you like that? Huh? Well, anyway, regardless of what you may think at this point, stay with me. My mama was a wee little woman, under 5 feet tall. But she was a woman who wielded a big stick, a big broomstick. And she knew, oh yes, she knew how to keep us three boys in line. Not that it mattered to us much back then, but Mama wasn't even a Catholic. But our little town, well, it seemed to have the edge over the Protestants and the like. They were secondary. They didn't hold a, pardon the term, a candlestick to us Catholics. No. Oh, yes, our little town seemed to have that. Those crazy ideas. And to my knowledge, well, Mama, my mama, never went to any church. As for my dad, well, he was one of them non-practicing Catholics. Spent most of his time fighting in a war somewhere. What I recall most about them days was the way we would categorize sin. Now, you got to hear this. The way we would categorize sin. Every sin had a different category, it seemed. Now, you likely heard some of the names folks back then had for sins. Especially the lying kind, right? Now, if our lies were big whoppers, well, that's what we call them. Big, fat lies. Big, fat lies. If they were weak-kneed and didn't cause much harm, well, then we were allowed to call them fibs. Fibs. But there was two types of main lies that really mattered a whole lot to folks. Are you ready? That's the title. That's the title, eh? The color of sin. Okay, here we go. The two biggest sins that we committed as children when I was a child were the big black lies and the little white lies. The big black lies and the little white lies. Now, if they was big and black, people said you were up to no good and likely headed for hell. On the other hand, if your lies came under the banner of little white lies, then about the most that would happen was you'd end up in bed without supper. Okay. Took me a lot of years and several kids of my own to outgrow that way of thinking. The first verse of love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, tells us, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, then I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, charity, as we were taught, is not so much like giving and helping the poor, but charity was love. Love. And, of course, love is giving and helping. But that was another word for love, charity. And that's what the Bible is alluding to here. When I repented and I believed in the word of our living God, then that word, charity, came across as love. Love. Now, this is why it's called the love chapter, of course. Isn't charity a form of love? Yes, of course it is. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. When I finally became a child of the King, well, I put away childish things. Except maybe a piece of blankie, a strip of blankie I used to sleep with. You've been there, huh? until I joined the army and they took it away from me. Anyway, praise God, I say, praise God. No more big fats and little whites. But you know something? A lie is still a lie. No matter what kind of brand you put on it or label, it's a lie and it's a sin in the eyes of God. And not only do all lives matter, but all lies matter also. Have you got that? Kind of applicable to today, right? Right. But now, a new breed of childish calamity has hit the scene. It's raging like wildfire, and the devil's using it to destroy our very existence under God. You hear it every day, and it gets louder and louder. It's all over the internet. It's in nearly everything you read. And if I had a dollar for every time I saw the writing on the wall, Black Lives Matter, it's uptown, it's downtown, it's written in the sky, and just about every toilet wall from coast to coast and border to border. Black Lives Matter. Well, of course, in the eyes of a holy and righteous God, Black lives do matter. And, by the way, so do white lives. White lives. And red lives. And yellow lives. People, to God, in the eyes of God, all lives matter. All lives matter. And this is why I call my sermon The Color of Sin. It doesn't matter about color. Sin has no color in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. Let me say this. Sin has no race, no color, no creed. Sin is simply, get this now, sin is simply an attitude of the heart and the mind that God cannot look upon. Did you know God can't look upon sin? Let me tell you, when God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, went to that cruel cross at Calvary, and he allowed, now there's the word allowed, he didn't have to. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to suffer and die. But he did it for one purpose. You know, you're going to say, well, he did it to save us from our sins, right? Well, yes. But why did he do it? He didn't have to. He did it to glorify his Father in heaven. Because this was the will of his Father. God's not willing that any should perish. So there you go. He didn't have to. But think of the consequences, if you will. If he had not allowed himself, I'm talking about Jesus here, if he hadn't allowed himself to be tortured, if he hadn't allowed himself to be beaten and whipped and spat upon, and had his hands and his feet nailed to the wooden cross, not for something that he had done, for he was not guilty of any sin. He is without sin. Now pay a mind here. Pay a mind. The only way the sin of mankind can be destroyed was to wash it away in the cleansing flood, which is the sinless blood. The blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You see, it's important for us to understand. Sin has no color. Did you hear that? I said, sin has no color. Sin has no preference. Sin is not manifested. It's something we were born with. When Adam and Eve committed that first sin in the garden by eating of the forbidden fruit, that's when sin entered in, and everything, everybody, every human soul that was born from there on was born in sin. It's the greatest scourge to befall mankind. You see, sin comes attached to free will. When God allowed us to have free will as opposed to being robots, then that's when sin became attached to us, our free will. The curse of sin had its beginnings in a beautiful garden, because a man called Adam and Eve a man called Adam and a woman called Eve were given, like I say, free will. Because the decisions they would make would be passed on to all mankind to follow. And that's the way it was. The color of their skin, I didn't say sin, the color of their skin is, it was, and is irrelevant. Irrelevant. It's the heart that matters to God. Did you know that? It's the heart that matters to God. For God looks upon the heart, where every thought, good or bad, is bred or born. As I alluded to a moment ago, unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, it won't matter a hoot the color of your sin or your skin. Why? Because, like I said, it's the heart. The heart. And the blood has been shed for that sin and can never be repossessed, as it were. Once the blood was shed, it was finished. It was finished. At Calvary, it was finished. And that's where the power is, my friends. It's in the blood. In the blood. Before I close, there's something you need to know. I mean, something you really need to cling to. Okay? Have you ever heard someone say, hey, you're as ugly as sin? Well, until we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then that's what we are. We're not only as ugly as sin, we are sin. I already mentioned that God can't look upon sin. Now listen carefully to this and you'll understand why. When Jesus was crucified on that cross at Calvary, and the cleansing blood flowed from his veins into the dust of Golgotha, in the book of Matthew 27:45, we read, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. 3 hours of black. 3 hours of darkness. Have you ever wondered why? Well, I already told you. Because God the Father is too holy to look upon sin. Upon his Son that day was placed the sins of the whole world. His blood, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was sufficient because he knew no sin. It was sufficient to cover all the sins in the world. Oh, this is where our redemption draw is nigh. And guess what? Here's the good news. If the whole world was to repent and believe in the gospel, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. If we, the whole world, were to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the world as a whole would be heaven-bound. But as it is, we that are saved even, who belong to Christ, we still sin. Why is that? We are still in these mortal bodies, that's why. But, you see, we have an advocate with the Father, the Holy Spirit, which indwells us the moment that we repent and give our lives over to Christ. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and dwells in us. And we become under conviction. You see, that old sin will never leave us. It'll only be covered in the blood, which is all that's essential. Because God then can look upon us, and he doesn't see the sin. All he sees is the blood of his Son. But at Calvary, he couldn't look upon Jesus, because Jesus was a propitiation for us and bore all our sins at Calvary. And he couldn't look upon that sin. That's why the 3 hours of darkness. But that is in the past. Now he doesn't see that anymore when he looks at us. All he sees is the blood of Christ. The redeeming blood. Therefore, when we come to God in prayer, he listens. He hears us. He can look upon us. Because all that he sees is his Son's cleansing blood. If it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd have no communion with the Father. It's that simple. It's that plain. There is no color to sin. Remember this as I close. The blood of Jesus Christ is the cleansing power that redeems us from all our iniquities. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, you might be listening to this message right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you belong. You're a child of the King and you belong to Christ. No. You have to make that private decision to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, it's a one-on-one thing. It's not something that you do in a group, even though at churches they have, where you walk forward, you know, as a whole group of people, you know, and profess. Hardly likely that everyone in that group is going to fully understand or fully receive and repent. Hardly likely. But anyway, keep this in mind. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, because it's your sin that is the stumbling block between you and a holy and righteous God. And that's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. I hope this message matters to you today, and I pray that if you're not sure of your salvation, that you'll make sure, even before you pillow your head tonight. God doesn't want to see you in hell. No. He's not willing that any should perish, and I can't say that enough. I love you, people. I love you. Or I wouldn't be presenting this message. Now, thank you for listening. May God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.